Let me ask you all a question this morning. Do you have real hope? I'm not talking about trivial hope, like how long is that preacher going to speak for today? Or are my children going to behave well out in Sunday school? Or, especially after Arsenal and Tottenham losing yesterday, will West Ham beat Burnley later on today? No, I'm asking you, do you have real hope? Real hope is the ability to stand in the present and look into the future with confidence. And most agree that actually real hope, particularly at the moment, is really hard to come by. We've just been through, and perhaps we're still going through, the back end of a two-year global pandemic. Shops have closed, schools have closed, offices have closed, our lives have been turned upside down. Holidays cancelled. In a matter of weeks and days, sometimes socializing was brought to a minimum. It's hard to have hope. Face masks are still visible today. Waiting lists at the NHS have increased again. And then when the pandemic goes out of the headlines, we find that war, of all things, returns to the headlines. Wars have continued, sadly, in many countries in recent years, but suddenly the reality of war with the conflict in the Ukraine feels closer to us. And the risk of perhaps nuclear war between East and West is at its highest since the Cold War. Do you have hope? These global events have impacted us all in one way or another. The cost of living is continuing to escalate. At its fastest rate in decades. Fuel, energy, food bills are going through the roof. There was little hope in the latest budget, and many have simply lost all hope in a government that appear to not even keep their own rules. Yet the message in the Bible about Easter is that there is real hope, even in 2022. Becky and Sophie have just shared with us their faith in the Lord Jesus, and in turn their hope, both their hope for the rest of their lives here, but even more so in their hope for the life that is to come. And that hope, shared by many others here this morning and around the world, is an outworking of faith in Jesus Christ and in the decisive victory of that very first Easter when Jesus rose again. My hope for us this morning, my plan for us this morning, is to look at these and to consider these two followers of Jesus on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and to consider their journey, not their physical journey to Emmaus. I'm not going to do a geography class, but rather their journey to faith, to knowing real hope, because all of us are somewhere along this spiritual journey. But the question is, will we reach the destination? Will we know real hope? We're going to start, if you've got your Bibles open or if you've got your phones, we're going to look at verses 13 to 21, where we find out straight away information about these two travelers. Cleopas and his companion had been in that group with the disciples that is referenced in that first reading that Nigel read out to us, when the women returned from the empty tomb. They had been in that group. They had heard that news. And we read in verse 14 that they were talking with each other about everything that had happened over that first Easter weekend. And I love the way Luke writes this, because Luke is a human being. He is inspired by the Holy Spirit, we believe, to write this account for us. It's in God's word. But I think he must have been smiling as he writes this account and says, Jesus came up to walk alongside them. He lets us in on the secret. But Cleopas and his companions aren't aware it's Jesus. Jesus joins them at a real low point in their lives, perhaps their lowest point, a time when they had lost hope. A life without Jesus is a life without real hope. Verse 21, we read, but we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. they were most likely returning home after being in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Passover. And they had endured a weekend to forget. Their hopes had been nailed to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. They had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. They had hoped that Jesus was going to get rid of the Romans. They had hoped that Jesus was going to restore Israel's status in the world. And those hopes had been dashed. We know from verse 19, it tells us, they had considered Jesus to be a prophet, powerful in word and deed. So we know they must have been following Jesus for some time. They must have seen some of the miracles that the gospel writers tell us about. And yet Jesus had died. And so it appears, had their hopes. Their faces, as Luke records for us, were downcast. They were incredibly sad. They were disillusioned. Perhaps this is where you are today. It's certainly a position that I think all of us here can relate to at one point in our lives. Paul reminds the Ephesians, Christians of this in chapter 2. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. And separate from Christ, as he goes on to say, you are without hope. For a period of time, Jesus had brought meaning to life for these two followers. But as things hadn't worked out as they had hoped for, as they thought was best for them, they had lost hope. Well, maybe you can relate to that this morning. Maybe there was a time when you tried reaching out to God. You prayed once, perhaps about a relationship. It wasn't working out the way you'd hoped, and you thought, well, actually, God, I'm going to try this time. I'm going to pray. Please help me in this relationship. May it get stronger and not weaker. Maybe you prayed for a loved one once, a family member, maybe about their cancer. Lord, Lord, please may that cancer shrink and not grow. Maybe you prayed, God, if you give me this job, this role that I've always wanted, the salary that will allow me to provide for the children that you've given me, then I'm going to trust you. However, it appeared that God didn't answer your prayers. That one time when you exercised trying to reach out to God, it seems that God didn't answer you, and so you lost hope. Well, I believe what we see here in this journey to Emmaus is that sometimes in our darkest moments, when we don't actually believe God is there, he actually is. And all the while he is working out his purposes behind the scenes. The thing is, we just don't recognize him. Just as these two disciples didn't recognize Jesus. God is at work, even in this really difficult moment in their lives, on this road to Emmaus. God's son, Jesus, actually comes to walk alongside them. And we also see God in verse 16, don't we? They were kept. That's God's hand. They were kept from recognizing Jesus. And there's a reason why God does that, which we'll see later, and it is always, for their good, it's always for our good. Some that I've spoken with down through the years about this account, they say, this is just unbelievable. How on earth did they not recognize Jesus, especially if they had followed him for some time? But it's amazing, isn't it, who we're capable of missing when we aren't expecting to see them. I was reminded of a story this week of a group of American tourists. I'm sorry about this, Rob, and any other Americans that are with us. And these group of American tourists were walking in the grounds of the Queen's Balmoral Estate in Scotland. Perhaps you've heard this account. And somewhere in the 50,000 acres around the castle, they came across an elderly woman wearing a headscarf and tweeds. And they asked her, "Do you live around here?" And she replied, "Yeah, I've got a house not too far away." And then excitedly they said, "Have you ever met the Queen?" No. And on seeing their disappointed face, she gestured to the policeman just a couple of meters away and said, "But he has." We can consistently fail to recognize God's presence because we aren't even looking or expecting to see him, even though he is always there. Read David's account in Psalm 139 about the presence of God. "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. I make my bed in the depths, you are there." So if, like Cleopas and his companion, you have lost hope this morning, ask yourself firstly, have you really been looking for Jesus? Did you miss God's Son because he chose to wear a crown of thorns and get nailed to a cross? Have you lost hope because your prayers weren't answered in the way that you thought was best, rather than actually seeking God's purposes? Well, let's move on to our second stop on this journey of faith, and I've called this one Hesitant Hope. Verse 21 to 27, and we're going to start in verse 25, where we read, "He," this is Jesus, "said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.'" Hesitant hope, life that doubts Jesus. It's clear as we read this account of these two followers that they had so many pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. We've already alluded to their acknowledgement in verse 19 that they saw Jesus as a prophet. They had seen and heard Jesus do and say amazing things. Yet there's more. In verse 21, we read that they knew something of the significance of the third day. They'd not only heard Jesus, but so important, they had listened to some of what Jesus had said. They knew the third day was of significance. Verse 22 to 23, it reiterates that they had been present when the women had returned. And they hadn't just heard about the account of the empty tomb, they had heard the women had met angels. And then finally, verse 24, well, they knew that Peter, and also we know John went with Peter from John's account, well, they had also been and seen an empty tomb. Yet they are slow of heart to believe. We can have lots of head knowledge. We can know a lot about Christianity, about the historical person that walked on this earth of Jesus Christ. But if we aren't prepared to give our hearts in faith to Jesus, we'll always have doubts. I think what we see here, and this is of real encouragement to us all, Jesus is patient with those who have hesitant hope, for those who have doubts. Perhaps we see this most at Easter in the account of doubting Thomas, but we see it here as well. And despite Jesus' rebuke in verse 25, what we read about in verses 26 to 27 is likely the greatest Bible study there's ever been on this earth. And we may be sad, oh, if only we could listen to that Bible study this morning, download that rather than listening to Malcolm. If only I could watch that Bible study. And yet, we do have a book written all about the Bible study that day. It's called the Bible. We can read of the study that Jesus went through with these two followers. And notice where Jesus starts. Verse 26, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" These two followers of Jesus, like so many people today, had not yet understood the necessity of the cross. You see, in order for God to redeem a people, his people, in order for Cleopas and his companion, in order for us today to have real hope this Easter, we need the cross. And we need it because of our sin, our wrongdoing, everything we've said, done, thought, without regard to God, without regard to his ways, his laws. Every time that we've marveled at creation around us, especially on a glorious day like today, and we haven't acknowledged God. Every time we've put ourselves first and God second, third, fourth, or nowhere on the list, we sin. And the Bible tells us that God is holy. God is pure. The prophet Habakkuk tells us God can't even look upon sin. Cleopas and his companion, without the cross, had absolutely no chance of ever being in God's presence in heaven. And the same applies to us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the realization that Becky and Sophie came to. And not only can we not get into heaven, but much worse, we will face God's judgment. Because as we read in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus gave his blood for you and for me this morning. That's why Easter Friday is called Good Friday, because the most amazing sacrifice was made on our behalf. The Son of God gave up his perfect, spotless, sinless life in our place for our sin. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, I think this is shorthand in our account for the whole of the Old Testament, likely starting exactly where Becky did in Genesis. Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The Bible all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament looks forward to his coming. The New Testament talks about his coming and also the promise that he will come again. It is all about Jesus. And how the words of Isaiah 53 must have helped their understanding of why Jesus had to die. This is just one verse from Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, peace with a holy God, was laid on him. By his wounds, we are amazingly healed. And then perhaps Jesus moved on to Psalm 16 to bring to light that he was always going to rise. It was prophesied. This is what we read in Psalm 16, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And through this Bible study, through the Word of God, we see Jesus doing the work of God. Which is why I believe Jesus kept them from, or why God kept them from recognizing Jesus. Because in 40 days' time, Jesus would ascend to be in heaven. But the Word of God would remain. And when Jesus went to heaven, the Father would send his Holy Spirit to enable Becky, Sophie, many of us also here to understand God's Word, to know the hope that is in Jesus, just the way Cleopas and his follower had been shown through the scriptures. Think about this just for a moment. If Jesus were to appear right now in this church, would you then believe in him if you don't already? Based on that appearance, would that be enough for you to see Jesus once physically? Wow, now I believe. And if you did, just based on that appearance that you saw Jesus, well, what would happen when you told your friends tomorrow that you meet up on Easter Monday or back in the office on Tuesday or at school? Would they believe you? Wouldn't they likely try and convince you that maybe you'd fallen asleep when that guy was talking for hours? Maybe they'd try and say, well, maybe you were daydreaming. Maybe it was the sun. It was a bright day on Sunday and it reflected off the window and you thought you saw Jesus. They may even, when you're not looking, think, I think they're losing it. They may make fun of you. If that was your experience and you based your faith just on seeing Jesus, I think it's highly likely that in a matter of weeks you may actually doubt what you started to see. Did I really see Jesus that day? A Christian's faith is built firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. But alongside Jesus, God has given us His Word, the Bible. And with the Spirit's help, we see that everything that God has ever said He will do, He either has already done, or we can have great confidence He will do. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a man who we believe was God's Son, who walked and repeatedly said, after 3 days, He will rise again. Jesus said, I have authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. And that's why we're here today, because He did. We rejoice in the resurrection, and we know we can trust Jesus' word, God's Son, just as we can trust God the Father. There is no reason for having hesitant hope this morning. Well, this Bible study, I think, impacted these two followers in the most profound way. And they're urging Jesus to stay. Jesus is looking to move on, but they urge Him to stay. And so we come to our final leg of our journey this morning, verses 28 to 35. Real hope. Real hope exists when we place our faith in Jesus. It is a life with Jesus. Verse 31 we read, then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. Just as it was God who stopped them from recognizing Jesus, so it is God who opens the eyes of the blind. Maybe it had been the familiar prayer that Jesus had prayed, that God used. Perhaps it was those nail-pierced hands that they saw as He broke the bread and handed it out. What is clear is that as instantaneously as God had allowed their eyes to recognize Jesus, so He disappears. His work with these disciples is done. And I think this confirms for us, doesn't it? It is more important to have our eyes open spiritually to the truth about Jesus than a glimpse of Him physically. That's what Jesus said to doubting Thomas. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And what are we left with here? Faith. Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? Do you remember, it was their hearts that were slow to believe, and here our hearts changed. Why weren't our hearts burning within us? And come into faith, understanding personally that Jesus died for your sins, knowing the certain hope of eternal life that His resurrection brings. Living with Jesus, living with God, well, it not only brings peace, but it also brings incredible joy. Joy and excitement. And I don't know about you, but when the adrenaline is pumping and you're excited, you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. I think we see that again very humanly in this account of Luke. You see, there's no Facebook, there's no Twitter, Instagram, mobile phones, and they're desperate to tell other people about what they've learned, what they've seen. And so they get up. And I don't know what time of night it was, but it would have been a dangerous trip, but they just head straight back to Jerusalem. And what's the first thing they share? Well, we see it in verse 35. Then the two told of what had happened on the way, and secondly, how Jesus was recognized when He broke the bread. Real hope, real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be contained. It likely wasn't easy for Becky or Sophie to share their journeys of coming to faith this morning. But none of them were forced to share their testimony. They too, like Cleopas and his companion, wanted to share their experience of coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of having their eyes opened. There is hope for everyone this Easter, even in 2022. Whatever happens with our bills, whatever happens with the horrific wars taking place around the world, in our relationships, in COVID variant YXZ, I've lost account of what strain we're up to, there is hope. And it's all because of Jesus' death and resurrection on that very first Easter. Where are you on this all-important journey to faith? Have you read the Bible? Have you asked Jesus to open your eyes? And if you're on that journey, if you've reached that destination of faith, and we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, how we should rejoice in the hope we have. It's still Sunday morning. I'm going to close now. I don't know when these words were shared on Sunday evening on that very first Easter Sunday, but these are the words I'm going to close with. It is true. The Lord has risen. Amen.